are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, May the 3rd, and a little bit of drive talk and also Michigan basketball today. But this is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City, covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News. Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for spreading the word. Thanks for staying with us throughout the offseason here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today we're going to run down Thursday's playoff game as the Sixers take control of that series. Not a strong grasp of control, but a little bit there. We're also going to be joined today by James Hawkins of the Detroit News, talking about the Grand Rapids Drive and the Pistons G League dance that's going on there. And we're also going to talk to him about Michigan hoops, as he is the beat writer for the News on the Wolverines basketball team. Talk about the three draft prospects for the possibly for the Pistons, but also from Michigan, as two of the guys are committed to be in the draft, and one more of them is dipping his toes in the water, but believed to be making more of a commitment as time goes on here in the coming weeks. But also, we're going to talk about what's left in Ann Arbor for John Beilein's team as well. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-MattShook. But first, the 76ers get the win on Thursday night against the Raptors, 116-95, taking a 2-1 series lead there in the Eastern Conference semifinals. Philly led by 33 points and 10 rebounds for Joel Embiid. He was great. 22 points for Jimmy Butler. Looks like those two guys have come together in the playoffs. Jimmy convincing Joel to shoot the three in one of those mic'd up type of segments. But not all that surprising that those guys have come together for the common goal. Hey, you know, get along with your coworker for like 2 months max. Everyone has a common goal. Everyone benefits from the best playoff results in terms of their image, in terms of their bank account, and all that good stuff. So, yeah, I can understand why teams like Philly and teams like the Celtics that might have had a little bit of consternation are really putting it together right now. Really not that difficult to see because we see it pretty much every season in the NBA. But for Toronto in the loss, 33 points for Kawhi Leonard. Nick Nurse, man, we'll see what he's got cooked up for the rest of the series on the bench for the Raptors. That magic man, right? I mean, this is what he's here for, to win these playoff series against tough teams. And the Sixers certainly aren't as tough as a LeBron James-led team that Dwayne Casey had to deal with in Toronto for all those years. But if Nick Nurse can't get by Philly, we're going to have to say we told you so here in Detroit here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Anyway, that series will continue on Sunday afternoon with a 3:30 game on ABC Game 4. But also tonight, the playoffs continue in the East with the Bucks at Boston. 8 o'clock game on ESPN, a 1-1 series tie there. Also 1-1 with the Denver Nuggets and the Portland, the second half of tonight's doubleheader. That's a 10:30 game on ESPN tonight. And then Saturday night, the singular game is the big one, although I'm not having as much fun with that one as I am with all the other series. But anyway, Warriors at Rockets, 2-0 there, Golden State in the lead. And that's an 8:30 p.m. game Saturday night, primetime on ABC. But more important than any of that, we're looking for the biggest Pistons fan in the world. We've been talking about it all week, and we're looking for get it in as soon as you can. I'm probably going to extend the deadline a little bit, but you didn't hear that here. So send it in now. What I'm looking for is an email from you. Put in the subject line something like biggest Pistons fan in the world or Locked On Pistons contest or something like that. We are doing a single elimination trivia contest between fans, and we'll get you guys on the phone and record it and play it here on the podcast with a bunch of trivia questions, and whoever answers the most of them correctly in that one-on-one contest moves on to the next round. We're going to have a big tournament with a bunch of trivia questions. It should be a lot of fun. So send that email to me at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com. Again, that's Matt_Shook. At yahoo.com. I will respond to you if you send that email and tell you that I received it, just so you know that you made the, you know, hit the right email address or didn't go to my spam folder or something like that. So to go ahead and do that. And also in the email, we need your name and where you live or where you're from if you live somewhere else. And then also, I'm looking for trivia questions. I'm mining you guys to help me out and come up with a bunch of trivia questions. So obviously, Pistons-related trivia questions, not too hard, not too easy. Send as many as you'd like. We'd like a couple few to get you qualified as entering in the contest. It's a free contest. T-shirt for the Locked On Pistons show, at least for the winner. Maybe we'll come up with something else. So get that into me this weekend, and I'll give you an update on Monday about where we stand and how many more people we might need before we get started on the contest here sometime in these next couple few weeks. So I'm going to get on the Reddit thread and pass along a folder there. I'm not a huge Reddit guy. So I'll start a topic there telling people to get in, and I'll send some DMs from the Locked On Pistons Twitter account too. So look for those if you follow, and we'll get you invited. So again, Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com. Send some trivia questions as well. But up next, we're going to talk to James Hawkins of the Detroit News. But remember, you can get the Locked On Pistons podcast on the brand new podcasting app, Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, go ahead and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons.
Yes, sir!
All right, and now we're being joined by James Hawkins of the Detroit News, my sometimes colleague there. James, you can find him on Twitter at James B. Hawkins. James, thanks for taking the time to join us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
For sure. Now, you cover the Michigan basketball team for the news, and we're also at the press conference that Wayne State University held on Wednesday announcing the $25 million athletic center that they're going to be building. And as part of that press conference, Arne Tellem of the Pistons was there detailing their, involvement of having a G League team come and join that facility after the next two seasons, when the Grand Rapids Drive will be the team that still is the Pistons G League representative. Now, what's kind of your sense from that press conference about Arne and maybe where things stand in terms of the relationship between the Pistons and the Drive coming into these next 2 and 3 years?
Yeah, so as we know, the Drive and Pistons have an agreement through the 2021 season, and ironically, Arne Tellem was saying that they plan on having a team in Detroit, a G League team in Detroit for the 2021-22 season, which is when they're expected to, Wayne State's kind of expected to open up this new arena for their men's and women's basketball programs. So yesterday, obviously that was a big topic of conversation with Arne Tellem. He said, when asked point blank if, the Drive state has been decided yet, he said it's too early to tell, that they're still in discussions with the NBA and with the Grand Rapids Drive team. Because as we know, the Drive is only one of five G League teams of the 27 that has like that hybrid affiliation where, the Pistons control the personnel and the basketball operations, and then there's a separate ownership that controls the community and business side of things. So Arne Tellem said, that they're kind of in talks with the NBA of going an expansion team route. And based on the statement that the Drive sent out yesterday following the press conference, they said that they are not interested in relocating to Detroit. By all accounts, I think you can kind of read between the lines there, and it seems like the most obvious route for the Pistons to go would be to kind of get this expansion team. And what that means for the Drive, I don't know. It doesn't seem too good for them. I don't know if they would just sell or fold or kind of what would happen with that team and in Grand Rapids. But I would also think, obviously, with the Pistons playing down in Detroit at LCA, and then they're going to have their new training facilities supposed to open, I believe, this summer or fall. So they're going to have everything down there in Detroit. And I would think if the Pistons go this route where they get an expansion team, I think it would make sense that they'd want to just control everything like most of the G League teams do, instead of having, this separate ownership. So just from the tone and kind of what was said yesterday with Tellem, I think at this moment it just seems like the most likely case is that the Pistons would probably go the expansion team route in terms of bringing a G League team here. Obviously, things can change. Tellem said, this is going to be something that they'll have a better sense of things over the next few months as they continue these discussions. But if that's the way they go, I think that's got to be a kind of an awkward next few years, I guess, if you're part of that Drive ownership group and you kind of know you only have this team for the next 2 years before the Pistons kind of plan on getting a new team to bring to Detroit.
It's like living with your ex through the lease, right? Exactly. That's
kind of, yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, James, I also, in terms of this Grand Rapids thing too, do you think that, do you get the sense, and your articles on debtnews.com, kind of talking to Arne about some of these things with the Grand Rapids, do you feel like the organization would have been sending more guys to Grand Rapids for games here and there if it was a little bit less of a distance, especially, thinking about some of these weekend games that maybe could have been more reality for some of these guys at the end of the roster?
Yeah, for sure. I think Tellem, that was like the one thing he pointed to, was just like from a basketball perspective is the proximity of everything. I mean, obviously, being about 2 miles away from, you know, the LCA is a much bigger deal than being 2.5 hours away, you know, being in Grand Rapids, having to drive there. So, I mean, he pointed to one of the guys he brought up was like Henry Ellenson. A couple of years ago, he pointed out how he only played 2 games in Grand Rapids just because of the distance and the proximity to everything. It just kind of is kind of a pain, I guess, for, you know, guys to kind of shuttle back and forth and kind of get that playing time and, you know, practicing, going through practice or whatever in the morning in Auburn Hills where they're still at right now, and then kind of making the trip out there to go play at night. I mean, it's kind of a burden for guys. And then he pointed to how Arn Tellen pointed to how most teams anymore, like their G League, I mean, they're kind of all right there, like within a pretty relatively close distance. So, I mean, that was one thing. That's probably the biggest thing Arn Tellen spoke about, was just how, in terms of wanting to like mentor and get their, you know, the younger guys to develop more and get them more work. I mean, it just makes sense from a basketball standpoint to kind of have this facility, kind of have everything as close as possible instead of like kind of making these guys take this voyage or trek every time they want to try to have them go, you know, just get game experience and kind of get games in with the drive.
Yeah, and what's interesting to me about that is you talk about how, and it makes sense, from a basketball perspective, you'd want the team down the street. Maybe even you could use some of the same practice facilities, the drive practice at Calvin College. I'm assuming there's some kind of rental fee there, and maybe having some of the drive players use the Pistons practice facility or maybe even Wayne State's practice facility makes sense. But I think the thing that might be missing with that is that, you know, the potential for a really serious brand over in Grand Rapids Drive, the potential, and I don't know how well they're due over there, but the potential to maybe capture a second tier, you know, minor league sports market could be there. Whereas I don't know how many people in the Detroit area are going to want to go watch a Pistons minor league game, you know, 2 miles away from the real thing, when the Pistons are, you know, not even that popular of an NBA team to begin with. So how popular could that G League team be? So that's kind of a little bit of my take on there. But James, we got you here. Let's talk Michigan Wolverines. Like I said, you're the beat writer for the Detroit News for the team there. So three guys, and a couple of them maybe a little bit surprising, I guess, as far along as this has gotten. What's the update on the three early declarees for the Wolverines and what the status of those guys are?
Yeah, so the three guys are Charles Matthews, Jordan Poole, and Ignas Brazdeikis. And we know for certain that Charles Matthews and Jordan Poole are both leaving. They're both staying in the draft, and they're going to pursue their pro careers. And then the one guy who's still kind of on the fence, who still has a chance to come back to school, is Ignas Brazdeikis. And we got him before the team's awards banquet a couple weeks ago, and he said he wasn't really going to make his announcement until after the NBA combine, which makes sense because obviously, I mean, you want to go through this, kind of go through the process, go through, like, you know, the scrimmages, the interviews, the all the athletic testing that, you know, that it offers at the combine. So I think he's kind of, you know, weighing his options. I was a little surprised when Jordan Poole just kind of came out and already made his decision well before the May 29th deadline, but I think he kind of had to say that because we all found out that he had that Cameo profile and he was shooting videos to make money online, which is a clear NCAA violation. So I kind of tipped his hand off that he was going to have to stay in there unless he wanted to be ineligible and sit out a year, however those violations work out. So yeah, the one guy who Michigan is still waiting on would be Ignas Brazdeikis. And like I said, he said he'll probably announce after the combine wraps up. And I think that's what, the May 14th through the 19th or something like that. So should probably know here towards the end of the month whether he's going to come back or not. But by all accounts, it just seems like he's a guy who's probably leaning towards walking out and being, you know, Michigan coach John Beilein's first one and done during his time at Michigan.
Yeah, and like you said, that combine coming up at the end of, really the end of next week or 2 weeks from now, about in Chicago. So he'll have a lot of the one-on-one interviews and get a lot of the feedback from the teams there. So that'll be obviously an important part of his decision. Now, since Michigan lost to Texas Tech there in the regionals, did you kind of have a feeling that, I don't think anyone was surprised that all three of these guys are at least going through stage one and testing the waters. But like you said, now with Poole definitely gone and Iggy possibly gone, are you really surprised about this or a little bit surprised about the two younger guys in particular?
No, I thought for sure Iggy would go through the process. I mean, he was Michigan's leading scorer all year long, and he had some of his better games were against better competition. I mean, I think his one big breakout moment was against Villanova on the road. In the whole national title rematch game, everyone wanted to dub it. But, I mean, he kind of played really well in that game, and that really kind of put him on the map in, you know, college basketball. I guess if people didn't know who he was, I mean, that game he really kind of introduced himself. And, I mean, he obviously had the best, you know, scoring production of the team all year long, and he kind of took over games throughout the season. He was kind of there. There was several times where he kind of was the go-to guy late in games, and he kind of came through in some situations, not all the time. But he obviously had the, like I said, he kind of carried the team in scoring. He was the first freshman since Trey Burke to kind of lead the team in scoring. So I thought for sure he would go through the process at least. I didn't know if he was actually going to stick in it, and we'll see. But based on the – he kind of had the comments to ESPN where he talked about how he kind of wants to kind of be as drafted as high as possible and then just begin his career. So that's kind of what leads to all the speculation that he's going to be for sure kind of just sticking in there and leaving. As far as Poole, I think of the three guys who declared, I mean, if you look at him, I think his game translates the best to what the NBA is. I mean, he obviously has – the range. I mean, he can shoot from well behind the line. And I mean, I know he got caught a lot of flack for shooting, you know, 5 feet behind the line when he could have easily dribbled up and shot on the, you know, the college 3-point line on several times. And there's a lot, you know, the big thing with him later on in the season was his shot selection. That kind of drove people crazy and it drove Beeline crazy at times. But I mean, if you just look at him, he's a guy who can kind of shoot off the dribble. He can be a catch and shoot guy. I mean, he obviously can handle the ball and kind of get wiggle and get free. So, I mean, I think he, like, from an offensive standpoint, I think his game translates the best to what the NBA game is becoming. And there's still maybe, you know, some questions with him on the defensive end. I mean, he had some pretty bad games. I mean, if you just look at what happened in those three Michigan State losses, I mean, you can point to those and how Matt McQuaid kind of really picked them apart, especially with his subtle pump fake that kind of made Jordan Poole fly past him every time he did it. So he's going to have those big questions to answer on the defensive end. But Poole was, yeah, the one guy I thought – like I said, I think he had his game translate the best, but he was the one guy I thought who Michigan might have had the best chance to come back just because he's really young. I mean, he's younger than Ignas Brazdeikis. I mean, he's a young sophomore. I think he's only 19 and he's going to turn 20 before the NBA draft. So that was the one guy I thought that could come back. But as we already know, that's not the case. And then obviously with Charles, he went through this process last year. I mean, he's not getting any younger. I mean, he's been, you know, he's going to get his degree. He's going to graduate from Michigan. So that was kind of expected for him to kind of just leave because, like I said, I mean, his stock's not going to change. He kind of is who he is at this point. And so it's just kind of time for him to kind of just move on and start his pro career too.
If I had to put you on the spot and have you predict, who do you think gets the highest draft position out of these guys, assuming one of them gets drafted, I guess, who do you kind of think would that be?
I think that'd probably be Ignas Brazdeikis would probably be the best prospect to kind of get drafted just because I feel like he's maybe more built, just like physically built. I mean, he kind of, the one knack on him was kind of his defense. Like it's because he's kind of in that weird tweener spot where is he a three, is he a four? Like kind of what position is he going to play? The thing is, like, can he defend wings and at the NBA level? I mean, is he quick enough to, you know, slide his feet like and defend guys that way? Is he big enough to maybe defend guys in the post? So that's the big knock on him. But I mean, like I said, he was Michigan's leading scorer, and he's proven he has, you know, the offensive potential to be a guy who could maybe potentially be a sixth man, you know, off the bench in a scoring role. So I think of the three guys, I think he has the highest chance, and obviously, and in mock drafts too, he's been the one guy whose kind of name has been popping up the most. I mean, early on in the year, he was kind of in the first round, and I think in one other mock draft as of late, I think it might have been Sporting News, he was kind of a late first rounder there. But I mean, he's the one guy who seems like he has the best chance to at least be for sure drafted. And I think he has probably the highest potential to be drafted, the highest of the three.
Mm-hmm. And of the other two, Matthews and Poole, what do you think that is the main question kind of surrounding them that they might have to answer, whether it's in a one-on-one interview with teams or on the court at the combine or during some of these pro days? What's kind of the knocks on them that they might have to show that they're going to be able to rise above as NBA players?
Right. I think with Charles Matthews, if you look at him, he's clearly going to have to be one of these 3-and-D guys at the next level. For him, though, the whole thing is proving he can shoot the three. I mean, if you look at his numbers, he regressed as a three-point shooter. His numbers didn't get any better this past season as a three-point shooter. I mean, he can obviously defend. I mean, he was one of the best wing defenders on one of the best defensive teams in the nation this past season. So that's going to be his thing, is he's just going to have to maybe show that he can shoot better than what the numbers have shown these past two seasons. I think that's going to be maybe a little hard for him to do because it's probably not a good case if, you know, your shooting numbers kind of dip down from one year to the next. With him, I think, like I said, I think that's going to be the biggest thing he has to show, is that he can, you know, shoot better than what he's shown. But he can also be a guy who can maybe just come off the bench and just maybe play defense and just lock down a guy for maybe a few minutes to give, you know, another guy a breather. And that's certainly a possibility for him. And he could obviously be a guy who could probably be a two-way contract candidate. I mean, because like I said, he's an older guy. He's more mature. You know, he's physically developed, so he can, you know, probably handle the rigors of the NBA game and defending guys right off the bat. So I think he probably is the one guy who probably has the best chance of going undrafted, which maybe sounds kind of bad, but I think he'd probably be one of the first, he'd probably be one of the guys that maybe a lot of teams would call early on, you know, to kind of offer a two-way, just because, like I said, he's more mature and he's proven that he can defend. And he's obviously defended some, you know, NBA type prospects in this past season. I mean, he kind of locked down Indiana's Romeo Langford on two occasions, and he's also guarded several other top guys throughout the season. So he's shown he can lock down, you know, guys with NBA potential. For Poole, I think with him, it's going to be his defense too. Like I said, he's going to have to prove that he can, you know, be a reliable and solid defender and prove that he can maybe guard multiple positions, because as we know, like, the NBA game's kind of going this whole positionless type of way. And I mean, you got to be able to guard multiple positions. So that's kind of going to be the key with Jordan Poole. And I think obviously with him, it's going to have to be another thing he's going to have to show us is decision-making. Cause like I said, that was like one thing that was probably driving a lot of fans and Coach John Beilein crazy at times. And, you know, kind of just proven that he can, you know, knows when to kind of pick and choose his spots. But I mean, obviously that he's also going to, it would depend on a situation too, because I think in Michigan he kind of alluded to this too. He wasn't maybe in the best situation, I guess, for him to show off his full game, because with Michigan they had Xavier Simpson, and he's more of a ball dominant guy and a guy who really can't, you know, shoot the three particularly well. So I mean, when he was off the ball, I mean, kind of guys just kind of sagged down and kind of cut off, you know, guys' drives or kind of double teamed. So they kind of handcuffed him at times, and he wasn't really able to show what he could really do. So I mean, I think that's kind of one thing he's going to want to show in these scrimmages, just kind of show his offensive potential and, you know, with his ability to kind of create off the dribble and kind of maneuver in maybe more ball screen situations. And, but I think the one word, you know, that always comes up in these, you know, the draft is potential. And of the three, I think that's the one thing that Jordan Poole has the most of. I mean, I think if you look at them in terms of NBA prospects, I think Poole has the most potential of the three.
Yeah, and I think of as the strengths of these three guys and possible roles for the NBA, it's kind of interesting here on a Pistons podcast that really there's a world where any three of those guys might get picked by the Pistons at number 45 in the second round, seeing as though Poole has the, you know, the three-point shooting that the Pistons could need, Iggy with possibly the playmaking and a little bit bigger of a wing type that the Pistons might need on their roster. And of course, any Detroit Pistons fan would tell you that the defense that Charles Matthews brings could be something that could add to this team as well, especially looking around at some of the names in the Eastern Conference that the Pistons have to go up against year in and year out. But James Hawkins of the Detroit News, before we let you go here, a lot of Michigan fans listening to this as well. What do you think about what John Beilein has back? Obviously, we've learned to trust in him, that they're going to come up with some kind of at least pretty good team going into next season here, but losing three big pieces like that, is there a player or two that you think might surprise in terms of the leap that they make with some of that production that's lost with those three guys that might step in and take maybe more of the piece of the pie than maybe people might expect?
Yeah, well, I think the first guy that comes right off the bat is going to have to be Isaiah Livers. I mean, I know he was a guy who started his freshman year, and then he was like the sixth man for Michigan last year, but he's obviously going to have to play a much bigger role. And I think Michigan fans kind of saw it when Charles Matthews went down with his ankle injury towards the end of this past season, end of the regular season. I mean, he played starting minutes, and I feel like Michigan, their offense had more flow. It just seemed like the ball swung around a lot more. I mean, Isaiah, he's a guy who, I mean, he can obviously knock down the three. He can drive. I mean, he played with a more aggressive mindset this past season than he did as a freshman. He wasn't just settling for shots a lot. So he's one guy, I mean, right off the bat, you can look to and you can think is going to probably play a much bigger role, and he's going to have to, especially on the offensive end. Another guy, it's going to be interesting just because Michigan, they kind of lost out on one of this, the William & Mary grad transfer that they were targeting, Justin Pierce. He announced that he's going to North Carolina, and I think that was probably Michigan's top target this offseason to kind of maybe try to replace these losses that they're going to have on the wing. Because he was a pretty sought-after grad transfer, and he probably would have came in and played healthy minutes. So it's really going to be a guy who's maybe going to have to come in and play these minutes on the wing. It could be Jalen Wilson, the incoming freshman they have coming from Texas. I mean, he could be a guy who comes in and plays right away. It's also just going to be – it just depends on where Beilein's going to have guys playing, because Brandon Johns, he's more of a four, but he was playing the five this past season as a backup five. So he might slide out more on the perimeter. And then there's also maybe questions at the two spot where Poole's leaving. Is it going to be Eli Brooks? Is it going to be David DeJulius? I mean, either way, Michigan kind of goes there. I mean, Brooks played minutes at the two this past season alongside Simpson, because Brooks, you know, he gets lauded as being a solid defender, and he also, you know, he can kind of pick up on plays before they kind of happen. And then the biggest thing with him is just maybe playing with more confidence on the offensive end. I feel like he passed up too many shots when he maybe had open looks. And David DeJulius, I mean, he was a freshman who kind of played sparingly. So, and as we all know, the biggest jump in college kind of goes from that freshman to sophomore year. So I think for Michigan, though, they're going to need a couple of those guys maybe in this sophomore class to maybe step up. DeJulius is a guy I think a lot of people are looking to. He has probably the best offensive skill set of the three-point guards they have, with Xavier Simpson, Eli Brooks, and DeJulius. So I think maybe people are expecting big things from him. Colin Castleton's a guy who could probably play a bigger role as the backup five. So it's honestly, there's probably, you can point to so many guys, just because, like, if they do lose Ignas Brazdeikis, they're going to be losing their top three leading scorers and their top three probably perimeter players on this team. So they're going to need plenty of people to kind of step up and replace this production that they're going to be losing. But I mean, if there's one guy who's proven that he can kind of find ways to replace it, it's been John Beilein. Because I mean, if you look at this past season when they lost, you know, three of their top four leading scorers. I mean, they lost Muhammad Ali Abdur-Rahman, Duncan Robinson, and Mo Wagner. People kind of wondered what was going to happen with this team. And, I mean, look what happened. I mean, they won 30 games. They went to the Sweet 16 again.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, if there's one coach in America who's bona fides of player development, he can kind of lean on, and fans can maybe take some solace in as they look at some of the holes on the roster. I think John Beilein would probably be that guy. But James Hawkins of the Detroit News, follow him on Twitter at James B. Hawkins. For all your Michigan basketball and all sorts of other sports during the offseason. James, thanks for taking the time to join us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
And that'll do it for us. Thanks to James Hawkins of the Detroit News, talking a little Michigan hoops with us here as we head on to the weekend. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, saying get your entries into the contest for finding out the biggest Pistons fan in the world, and enjoy that weekend. We will talk to you guys on Monday.